10:58 here on the ticket. Work in progress. DJ and Monty in this morning. No Ham this weekend as he is out taking in the Texas Furry Fiesta 2026. Maybe he'll have some fun audio for that.
Is that this weekend?
Of course it's this weekend.
Okay. What about all that extra traffic was?
I don't know why Ham needed 6 weeks just to go to a furry convention.
I think he knew he'd need some time to recuperate, some time to sit bare ass on some ice.
Fair enough. I mean, he has the vacation time. So we'll have our normal staples in the 11 o'clock hour. Spoiler, that's just cover for we're going to just do random stuff.
Yeah, but we call it a cool name, and now it's radio.
Following the blueprint of the invasion. Let's throw a name on that thing. Instant success.
It's genius.
I agree, but I say that earnestly.
I'm saying it earnestly.
You're doing that as a shot across the bow.
You don't like boy music?
That just sounds weird when you phrase it like that. You don't like boy music?
OSS?
What is that? Is that like Led Zeppelin?
Donnie's big bucket of sports balls?
Why did the invasion catch a stray right now?
You're making it like they're catching strays. I like all those segments.
That's good.
You're a jerk. Let's do ham radio.
Ham? What an odd question. Do you like boy music?
Who doesn't?
Girls.
Nah, girls like boy music too.
All right, so let's replay some classic ticket audio here as we had opening day this week. And this made me think of a very tense moment from ticket history. I always think of like moments that if I was working here or moments that I would not for $1 million switch places with that person. One of them is like the first time I heard Trey meet Gordon, and Trey just got eviscerated by late 2000s Gordo.
It's a bad time to run into Gordo.
When Gordo's got his claws out and he's ready to just death by 1,000 cuts you. Anything, or maybe, boy, there's a common denominator here. Trey, when he did the Vampire Weekend song with Junior, that kind of stuff. It's too tense. Well, this is right up there as well, because this is when Pete Stein was filling in for Bad Radio, doing noon to three on opening day, and he had to mix or do Why Today Doesn't Suck with the Hardline, which at the time was still just predominantly Mike and Greg.
Fuck.
Which, Connor, are you aware of this audio? I think of the three of them in there, you're the biggest P1.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. EA and Michael, I'm guessing y'all have never heard this. Okay,
so they probably heard drops of it, yeah, and maybe not known.
You definitely have. Because the end of this is what we play every day at the end of Why Today Doesn't Suck. So again, this is original Hardline, Mike Reiner, Greg Williams. They are mixing with Pete Stein, who, again, was just kind of a sports media guy who went place to place. And you can tell he's kind of sports blowhardy, where he just wants to get to the big sports topics of the day. And immediately the Hardline has no use for this guy. And we'll stop and start some of this tension. It's about 4.5 minutes. I'm on mini here. You got me, Connor.
Afternoon at 4:10. It's E News with Cobra on the Hardline, talking sports and all that implies on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
2:56 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We're here at Washington Mutual at Justin Road in Morris and Flower Mound. We want to thank these people for their kindness and getting us set up. And the Hardline is also on the road today. They're at Texas Land and Cattle on opening day for Major League Baseball. And are you guys ready to throw in the towel on this season after this awful start?
What? Throw in the towel?
Not yet.
Already? On one game?
I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling about this season, and this is not the start I was hoping for.
Well, a wise guy once told me, and he got it, I believe that he got it confirmed by Junior Miller, that no team's ever gone 162-0. Didn't believe so.
So right out the gate, he's met by Grego, and this was April 3rd, 2006. So the Rangers had lost on opening day to the Red Sox 7-3. And immediately this guy's coming in with HSOs about the season being over. And Grego's like, after one game?
Okay. But obviously, being facetious about the loss, I mean, are we supposed to joke around here? And just, we don't joke about baseball.
I also don't think Pete was joking, because he'll get into like his big HSOs about why the Rangers are going to stink. But he's also going up against an immovable object here in Diamond Talk / Hardline.
That he got it confirmed by Junior Miller that no team's ever gone 162-0. Didn't believe so.
No, so, or the other way around. No team's ever gone 162.
That's right. So we don't know. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
The heck are you, man?
I'm Pete Stein, Greg. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Was that Ernest from Grego there? Yeah, good to meet you too. Who the hell are you? Boy, you'd feel 2 feet tall right there as these two titans of the ticket are like, who the F are you?
Yeah, maybe Pete should have come out of the gate with that.
Yeah, probably so. But you'll hear, too, at some point, he does a lot of uncomfortable laughter, and Grego will have none of that.
How are you, man?
I'm Pete Stein, Greg. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. You too. So you're running why today doesn't suck, huh?
Well, not really, because they didn't give me... I have no information on why today doesn't suck. Oh. And Kevin Scott has deserted me here.
So there won't be no why today doesn't suck today is what you're telling
maybe
us, right?
Maybe today sucks.
No, it's opening day.
No, it is opening day.
Never sucks. It's opening day, and we're going to crown a new national champion tonight in college basketball. So if there's any day that doesn't suck, it's going to be today.
Well, this is a great...
It's a bad feeling when whoever you're on air with, you feel like, is going to contradict everything you say.
They are not going to agree with him on anything.
So what am I supposed to do at that point when I feel like anything I throw out there is going to be shot down by the other two?
Well, he's going to continue to try. He's going to go back to the baseball page. But you're right. It is a bad feeling when you know that they're not going to work with you. And I also think that they were upset when they realized that Suck is not going to give an extra 20 minutes of their show, and they're probably going to do another segment.
I mean, fair enough there. I mean, if you're not usually hosting it, that would be...
Because if I was to bail out a Suck at 3:01, that would catch Corby and Bob and Dave off guard.
Yes.
If there's any day that doesn't suck, it's going to be today.
Well, this is a great time of the year, isn't it, guys? I mean, with the baseball and the college basketball tournament winding down, and you got the race coming later this week.
Who are you again?
I guess.
Once again, who are you again?
I'm Pete Stein.
Pete, okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you come here from?
Do we know you?
No,
we've never met.
We've never met. I was at Prime Sports Radio when it was based in Las Colinas. I did the Dallas Sidekicks for a couple of seasons. And I'm brand new here at the Ticket.
Ooh, Rhines. Something you guys have in common. Former Sidekicks.
Yeah. That means I already hate this guy.
Okay, so you hear the uncomfortable laughter after Mike's like, yeah, I hate him already.
Don't know him, but just the little I'm hearing about him, I hate him.
You could tell how little use he had for him when Grego's like, yeah, Sidekicks, y'all have that in common, because Mike used to call Sidekick games.
Also consider that they're both on location at different places, so you can't see each other, adding to the awkwardness of the chemistry with someone you don't know, two people you don't know.
Yeah.
Everything about this is primed to go terribly.
It's a perfect storm of tension. Right.
Some of you guys have in common. Former Sidekicks.
Yeah. That means I already hate this guy.
What's some uncomfortable laughter? So,
what else you got for us?
So, what else, Pete? What else is going on? Anything else?
Well, I was wondering what was going on with you guys. You guys are at Texas Atlantic Cattle.
We're at Texas Atlantic Cattle, hard by the temple. We've already been to the game and left early, left in about the fourth inning. And
so, the minute when you guys left, that's when it all went to hell.
The minute we left and took our lucky shoes with us, everything went to crap. Who the hell's
struggling?
Well, that's a ham board op move there. Like, you know, maybe I could assist these two guys, maybe try to bring them together.
No.
Nope, I'm going to point out how bad this is going.
No, I think that's good board oping. I think you take the temperature and you side with history. You go with the way it's blowing.
Who was the board op back then?
That might have been Psycho Dave?
Yeah. 06? No, it was Groobs.
Groobs?
06.
Okay.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Hey, so hey, you're gonna have to quit that fake laugh, man.
Well, I don't have a fake laugh, but I'll do the best I can here.
Okay.
So I guess it was pretty festive out at the ballpark, and you guys seem like maybe you're pretty optimistic about the season.
I did not speed that up. That is the most nervous fast talking you will ever hear. He is so quickly
just trying to get the ball out of his hands. Just, I don't want it anymore.
Well, he had just got accused of fake laughing after he had already been called out on it and then brought up again. And now he's going to get back into it by talking really fast about sports and see if that gets me out of this uncomfortable situation. Oh, my God.
I'll do the best I can here.
Okay.
So I guess it was pretty festive out at the ballpark, and you guys seem like maybe you're pretty optimistic about the season.
It's baseball season. It's opening day. How can he not be? Aren't you?
About the Rangers season,
yeah.
I'm not that optimistic, I got to tell you.
All right, why not?
Well, it all comes down to the guy in the middle of the diamond. I just don't know that they've got the pitching. I mean, I think, and we talked about this earlier, I think you can see some great games out there. I think there's going to be a lot of 8-6 exciting ball games out there. But at the end of the day, I think the Rangers are a 75-78 win team.
Okay.
See, he's trying there to find common ground. Like, you know what? These guys are big Ranger guys. Maybe if I talk Rangers here, they will meet me in the middle. Problem is, I don't know if you can rip the Rangers and get good feedback from them.
So what season was this again?
06.
06.
This was the first year of Kevin Millwood.
Okay. Not an unrealistic take to think that the Rangers are going to struggle here, as that is square in the middle of just an absolute terrible stretch for this team.
Yeah, but what if I don't like you?
Yeah, but starting in 2000, the finishes were 4th, 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 3rd, 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 4th in 2007. So that's an extremely realistic take.
Yeah, but I don't know about
Pete
that,
Stein.
DJ. I think you got to talk about the guy right there in the middle of the diamond and see if he's going to be out there good or not.
And again, Monty, they only hate him because, again, he said the Rangers were going to suck.
Yeah, that does not help. If he had been lauding the Rangers, he might have been able to get on their good side.
By the way, I'm looking at Pete Stein's LinkedIn. I remember Pete Stein from back in the day. During this time period, he listed working at the Ticket as weekend and Rangers post-game host show.
Okay.
So apparently he's according to the Ticket, he was the connoisseur of the Rangers.
Well, the guys he's talking to at the time were the
official.
Yes.
He may have done it like on the broadcast, maybe.
Maybe. I don't
like
remember.
On Ranger games, but
I don't remember that, but sure.
Okay.
Because they don't have pitching, huh?
Well,
so,
I mean,
so you're not,
what is
so
there to hang
Millwood?
Your hat on, guys? Kevin Millwood is, the, I mean.
Yeah, you got to forget, Kevin Millwood went up against a pretty good hitting team today.
No doubt, but he's going to do that on a regular basis in the American League.
True.
I mean, I realize he was the ERA leader in the American League, and he's fine. I don't have a real problem with him, but what's behind him? I mean, it's just the same old thing. It's just the same Ranger team we've seen year after year.
What if Cameron Lowe has a breakout year?
Well, that's the problem, though. You got a lot of.
I'll go ahead and tell you.
Cameron Lowe.
History is not looking kindly upon
Man,
that. Upon
sinker,
that thought from Greco.
That Cam Lowe sinker, if he could just harness it, get ahead and counts, he's going to be unstoppable.
What if Cam Lowe sneaks off and wins a Cy Young this year? Who knows? Point Pete Stein there on.
I'm hearing a lot
you,
of points, Pete Stein.
What do you do for Cam Lowe?
What if Cameron Lowe has a breakout year?
Well, that's the problem, though. You got a lot of what ifs.
Yeah, every time.
No, you're right. If all the what ifs come through, but you know, I think the Angels and A's are still a better team.
No, they got what ifs too.
Everybody's got what ifs. What if Curt Schilling can't stay healthy?
What if Darren Erstad's falling apart?
Although Curt Schilling looked pretty good today.
Well, you can really date yourself by bringing up Darren Erstad. How he's doing?
Ranger killer Darren Erstad.
Yeah, I just think the Rangers have a lot bigger questions. But you're right. It's opening day. This is when every team is optimistic. But it just seems like every other season.
I tell you, who's more optimistic than anybody? The Florida Marlins. You know why, Rhines?
Why?
Because they're about to be in San Antonio. That's why. Three baseball teams in Texas. Is that a good thing? 10.
Here we go. This is where he has absolutely reached his limit on youth for Pete Stein. Even Greco at this point, because Greco is trying to keep talking baseball, and he's talking about relocating the Florida Marlins and Mike is going to wrap it up.
Why? Because they're about to be in San Antonio. That's why. Three baseball teams in Texas. Is that a good thing?
10, 9, 8, 7.
What's the countdown?
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and you're done.
All right, guys, take care.
This is the new radio home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sports Radio 13.
And that was it. And that was the end of their time together. Mike just counted him down and was like, yeah, we're done. This is ridiculous.
Mike had not said 20 words the entire segment up to that point. Why is he so put out? He didn't have to do anything there. He was just sitting to a guy absolutely squirming, trying to cling to any help from any of the other people on air and getting nothing in return.
You even hear him say in the middle there, it kind of gets talked over. He's like, we have more minutes to fill here. You need to talk. And then when he did, they just jumped down his throat.
Yeah, like Grego was definitely just trying to block him out at that point and just have small talk, baseball talk.
What's the countdown?
At least, I mean, Grego was, you know, clearly being snarky to him about his laugh and who are you and all that. But at least he was engaging him in baseball talk. Mike was doing none of that at all. That's why Mike was like, we're good. We'll go ahead and get out of here. And I guess, yeah, the board up there, too, didn't even let Pete Stein get a full goodbye. He's trying to be like, all right, guys. Well,
he definitely got cut off.
What's the countdown?
Anyway, so now when you hear the end of Why Today Doesn't Suck and he counts it down, that's where that came from.
2, and you're done.
He just blew up Pete Stein and said, yeah, we're good. I'll see you later.
Sounds like if we want to follow up on this, we have someone willing to comment live on air.
All right. Well, let's do that during Sunday brunch next on The Ticket.
All sports all the time and all that implies. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
All right. It's 11:22 here on The Ticket. Got work in progress. Monty and DJ. No Ham today. He is out of town at a pool tournament. So we are trekking on without him. We will do the whip around to wrap up the show here in about 15 minutes. But we can do a little stump center here. Sunday brunch.
Justin,
why not?
And DJ. To Sunday brunch on Work in Progress.
Stump center.
And you're done.
And let's do a little follow-up to what we were doing last segment. We were replaying the audio of 2006 Hardline, letting Pete Stein know exactly where he stood in the DFW sports media pantheon. And we are now joined on the, what's it called?
Phone?
Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline.
Ticket Hotline.
Thank you very much, special guest. Our special guest was probably the closest in proximity to anyone, at least here, Corby Davison of the Hardline. Hello, Corby.
Thank you.
Corby.
Thank you. Hello.
We appreciate you taking time away from the Miami Open for this, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they've tipped off yet.
Oh. I tried explaining that to him. He doesn't get how tennis works.
I thought Medvedev got what he wanted.
Miami is not in Europe, and so they can actually start their matches on America.
They don't start at 5:30 in the morning in Miami?
They do not.
Okay.
No, they do not. Who, Connor played Goose for us. DJ, you realize that we're like 12 days away from seeing Goose together.
Can't wait.
I'm extremely excited, but I'm not trying to bring it up in front of Monty because he doesn't think it's cool like we do. Because he has no love in his life and hates everything and lashes out.
Yeah.
So us enjoying something makes him very angry.
If I can't be a part of it, then you can't have fun doing it.
Selfish.
48 hours of Goose and then Goose post game the day after, where all we do is talk about the show.
Is he going to go over like his draft board with you guys?
No, even better. We're going to watch the Masters after it.
Yes. So awesome. Get this, which we'll talk about this, I'm sure, at some point, but specifically book our flight because Sunday that we're coming back on Sunday, the show's Saturday night, and I realized it was the Masters weekend, like when we were booking this trip, I was like, oh man. So specifically booked our flight out at like 7 o'clock from Birmingham, Alabama, so we could go sit at a bar somewhere and watch the Masters final round.
After a night of Goose.
Yeah, watch Tiger Bring it home.
Mm.
Well, so I don't know if you heard the news, Monty.
Go ahead.
Apparently, he really likes pills and driving. And, yeah, he flipped his car.
So speaking of which, what was going on with Grego that day?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm telling you, so I'm running my sports errands this morning, and you gave me, like, listening to that whole thing. I don't think I've heard the whole thing in years and years, but it gave me such PTSD because sitting there, seeing it all unfold, that was 06. So I've been on the show for like 6 years at that point. And at that juncture of the that iteration of the Hardline, you have to remember that Grego was less than a year away from leaving permanently forever and ever. So this was like the very end. And so those two guys were not getting along. It was so tense. Just going into work was awful. You know, like it was just there was just tension everywhere. And so we pull up to this remote and I'm like, I go, and I knew that Pete Stein was hosting. I go, look, can we not mix? Because I know what's going to happen. Like, let's just not mix. Why do we need to mix with a guy that is not comfortable with it? We can do our own thing. Let's just, we'll do it.
You are in separate locations. It's all awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, no, this is what we do. We mix. And, you know, I'm like, dude. And then there was like build up to that because we were fighting on whether or not we should even talk to this guy. And I'm like, just don't do it. No, we're doing it. We're doing it. And I think Grego was even like, I don't think we should do this. Well, you can tell like right away, it's so incredibly awkward. And I literally had my headset on. And after like the first 45 seconds, I'm like, I can't even do this. Like, I'm not kidding, dude. Headset down, walked away because that poor son of a bitch, Pete Stein. I mean, he wasn't asked to do, like, this is not part of the gig. He's filling in. I don't even know how long he'd been filling in. Maybe one day. I have no idea. All I know is that they knew exactly who he was. Of course. That's not like they just put the headset on. They're like, who is this random human being talking? No, they knew who it was, and they were going to give him S for it.
Yeah.
Just for being on the air. And I'm like, don't, please, please, God, don't do this. And it really was just because of the tension in the air from the fact that those guys, Mike and Greg, hated each other at that point. And then we're arguing about whether or not to put this guy on the air. And then it all unfolds exactly like I envisioned it would, to be so cringy in this poor, poor Pete Stein.
And you're done.
Pete Stein did everything he could to ingratiate himself to them, try to talk baseball, talk Rangers, and whenever he instantly got the cue back from them that they were not going to play along. That had to be so defeating, being an outsider like that.
He didn't realize the first thing that those two guys would agree upon in the last 5 years was hating his guts.
It actually brought the show together for a brief
second. That's what gave them that last year wind, was them really like relating to each other on not liking Pete Stein for 5 minutes.
That may have been the final great show of the once powerful Almighty Hardline, right there. Kumbaya moment.
Yeah, we finally were able to come together. I didn't realize that you were ever a part of that. Like, I guess I just always thought you were off that day or something.
No. I was there. It was terrible. It was absolutely. And then, like, I hear it all, you know, and put the headset on. I'm like, I mean, you feel good about yourself? Like, was that cool? Like, you feel good. I don't care. You know? And it's just like, dude, come on.
We need more of that attitude back of just open hostility.
It's just, I just cannot for the life of me put myself in that place and be like, let's just ruin this guy's life. Because there's no doubt that the next 24 hours are probably the worst 24 hours that Pete Stein has ever had, thinking of like,
my whole career is over. Like, whatever I've built up to this moment in my life, it's now over. Like, it's just ruined. It's like, it's just terrible.
And not because of anything he did. It was literally just existing from noon to three for one day.
Yes, right. And the fact that those guys would not do one segment on their own. They wanted to kill a segment because they wanted to. They had to mix with a guy that they had no business mixing with at all. Ugh.
Corby, I have a quick question for you because you were there and just
Hey, EA, how you doing?
Hi, TA's on.
My question is, I don't know what the dynamic was back then, but were you allowed to talk during mix? Because I know you were part of the show, but maybe because I felt like maybe you could have stepped in and helped.
Yeah, did they take your shackles off before your muzzle?
EA.
Yes, sir.
Was I allowed to talk?
Uh-oh. He did say he was on the show already for 6-7 years.
No, I know, but I meant like, yeah, because, you know, they're like the hard line and they're the kings. Yeah.
They had him restrained like Steve Buscemi and Con Air up until E! News. All right, it's 4:30. Unchain him.
Yeah, I was allowed to speak at that point.
He does bring up a good point, though. Do you bear any responsibility for not offering a lifeline to poor Mr. Stein?
I tried privately, but those guys were having none of it. I think Grego was on board. Like, yeah, we probably shouldn't. We probably shouldn't do this. And then whatever at the time, if Grego agreed to something, then Mike was against it and vice versa. Like, there was no, it could have been like, you know, we were on a road trip and like, hey, let's go to Chili's to eat. No, I'm not going to Chili's. No, never. And it was just that type of dynamic over and over and over again. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Those like 3 years from 05 to 07, and it's bisected by the fact that I had a kid in 05. And so I felt like everything was so insane in my life. Like, I would go to work and it was insanity for, you know, the 6 hours that we were trying to do the show, put the show together and all that. Like, it was just so cringy, tense. Then I would go home to an infant, and I'm like, well, this is a great life. Like, baby was handed to me as I walk in the door at 7 o'clock. I'm like, oh, God, kill me.
I'm dealing with these two children at work, and then I have to go home and deal with a baby.
Yeah, well, right. As they're getting on separate elevators as they leave.
And I'm glad Grego had the wherewithal to say, maybe we shouldn't do this, but if we do, I'm going to make sure I make the guy's life awful.
I got to assert my dominance here.
If we are going to do it, I'm going to be horrible. I hope you know that.
Right. Gosh. I know. And yes, if I could have, or if anybody could have talked to Pete Stein, Hang on. I'm charging my car right now. And
Oh, on the way to Mr. Grohl's house.
I don't use traditional fuel for my automobile.
I've never done this before, and I'm taking up two parking spots, and I just got the death stare from this guy. So,
did Elon get mad at you?
Yeah, it's Elon.
We share a charger.
I've never publicly charged my car before, and I'm being publicly shamed right now. So, but if I could have told Pete Stein anything, it'd have been like, hey guys, love your show. Hope y'all have a wonderful time out there, and good luck. The end. Bye. Go. Run away. Run as fast as you can. Don't talk to anyone. But he was like, oh, the Rangers, and God, they're going to suck this year, right? The only thing that those two guys did care about was baseball. That's it. And on the first day, to be like, whatever you're doing for the next 9 months is going to be miserable, was the worst move of all time. So he's not completely out of the loop there on being at fault. So it was just terrible. God, it was so awkward, though. I'm just sitting here in my car going, oh, no, kill me.
How do you think he felt when he was going through all that? And
what's the countdown?
It gave us that good drop, which was awesome. But
there's just something to be said too about getting talked down to by sports radio nerds. As we all know, we're not intimidating people. These are not people of actual great power. But there was a time where Mike Gregg and Mike Francesa were titans among normal men and you cowered down at their power. It's just, it's really weird to think of it that way now, knowing all of these guys and how they're just extremely normal, unspectacular people.
Yes, incredibly. I mean, they are, but like to have that position and then try to assert yourself like you're Stalin or something like that.
How dare, I'm not sharing the airwaves with someone named Pete Stein. What an offensive thought.
Like there are a thousand things that I learned through the years working with those guys. And one of them 100% was, if I am ever in that position, never, ever act that way. Just don't ever, because you're a freaking talk show host. That's it. You don't lord over people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think what we do is pretty important. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And as DJ can attest to, I kind of go back and forth on that promise of just twisting off and flipping tables over and, oh, yeah. You know.
I mean, that's why he's going to Goose with you. You need your blood boy.
I made him go, yeah.
You need your DJ blood boy.
I hate the music. I hate golf, but it's just part of my job. That's why my job sucks.
I need youthful Mexican blood through my veins.
And you're the closest thing that he has to that, so he'll take you.
Yes. Yes, yes. He has to show up with me.
All right, well, Corby.
All right, there's my sports story.
We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Go Lehecka later.
Yeah, thanks for looking that one up.
How about that?
It's Lehecka, sir.
Oh.
And he's going to get smoked.
All right.
He is.
Well,
all right, see y'all.
Go charge your car. All right, there's the great Corby Davidson to let us know why he did not stand up for the honor of Pete Stein 20 years ago.
That's all I heard. He could have done something, but didn't.
That's why I asked the question. He was so silent.
Yeah, he's sitting there listening to Pete Stein's life crumble around him, and he just takes his headset off and gets another beer.
That's true evil right there when good people stand by and do nothing.
That's right. Corby.